Landry, 1-800-449-8686.
I have David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication, who has requested to come on the air right now rather urgently. David?
Yeah, Phil.
What is going on?
Phil, I'm right now traveling home, and I wanted to let you know and let your listeners know about a brutal reality in America still, and that is the reality of violence. Just a few moments ago, I was accosted in the parking garage.
At work?
Yeah, I was sexually assaulted by an individual I did not know. And
good Lord.
And I'm right now just trying to maintain my presence of mind, and I'm just driving home, and I just want you and your listeners to know that this kind of thing obviously exists in our country.
You need to get to the police, and you need to get to, obviously, to a hospital.
Well, I plan on doing both of those things, but right now I'm just trying to...
I understand. You're trying to collect your thoughts?
Just trying to collect my emotions. Just to be sexually assaulted in the parking garage of your own office.
I don't think you're in any shape to talk on the air, David. I think you need to seek the police and some medical help.
I wanted to just mention it to you and to your listeners, and
I'm stunned, and I want you to... Can we do anything for you? Can we make any calls for you?
I don't think so. I'm going to be all right. I just wanted you to know from the standpoint of a public service, and as a broadcaster, it's the first thing I think to do.
I understand that, and it would be my instinct too, but I think the more important thing is to make sure that you're okay.
I think I'm going to be all right.
This is very nerve-wracking for me.
I understand it.
I you know what I want? I want Chris to get on the phone right now to the police.
No, I can do that.
Chris, I want you to get on the phone right now to the police.
You got
to
call. Phil, hold on for a minute.
No, David, I think it's very important.
Wait. I don't think you need to do that.
Obviously, we do need to do that, and he's going to call the police, and I need for you to get some medical help.
It's fine. I'm going to be all right. I will, obviously, I will do both of those things, but please let me just do it in my own time. A little nerve-wracking, and
I understand that, but I don't want to be sitting here talking on the phone. Plus, there's somebody out there who has sexually assaulted you.
Can I tell you something, Phil, that I want to just tell you, and then I want to tell your audience. That's very important for me to say at this time.
Sure.
I'm only kidding.
What?
I said I'm only kidding. I wasn't sexually assaulted.
What is that supposed to mean? You're only kidding. Are you telling...
I wasn't sexually assaulted. I'm just joking. I'm just driving home from work.
You called Chris and you said you needed to get on the air. Are you sure that you're okay?
Yes, I'm okay.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I'm only kidding. Pretty good, huh?
Pretty good, huh?
But don't raise your voice, Phil.
What do you mean, don't raise my voice? Right off the bat, the beginning of the show, let's get David wants to get on the air. It's something he really wants to say. Then you tell me you were sexually assaulted in the parking garage?
Yeah, I was just joking around.
Well, what is that? Supposed to be funny?
Funny? What I'm trying to do is inject a little drama into your show. I'm trying to make things a little more compelling. Instead of the same garbage show you do.
Look, it, I know all about your opinion of my show. You've told me a million times.
Well, why? What's wrong with your boss, me, David G. Hall, calling in and trying to inject some life in it? Let me tell you something. Talk radio as we know it today, whether it's Dr. Laura, Rush Limbaugh, you name it, is on the air because of me. The things that I've done. The innovations that I've introduced. I'm trying to do for you what I did for Laura and Rush.
And that... Well, you don't have to do it like that, calling up and saying you got sexually assaulted.
Oh, get you. What are you, acting all, offended?
A little bit, yeah. First of all, it mocks what a lot of people...
No, no, don't go down that road. It mocks what people have been through. I said I was kidding.
Well, for about 5 minutes, you were... Nobody knew you were kidding.
How do you know nobody knew?
Well, I didn't know.
Well, that's a far cry from saying nobody knew.
You're trying to tell me the audience knew.
I bet you about half of your audience knew I was joking.
Joking?
Wait, look, lower your voice, will you?
What do you mean, joking? What's funny about that?
I'm trying to inject into your radio show a little unconventionality. Something that is going to surprise people. You know, you need to get your act together, okay? They're dusting off the hot seat for me. I need for you to get a little less commonplace.
Look, oh boy.
Your program is just the same. Sounds like every other talk show. And I'm trying to make it something unique.
You don't do it by calling it...
Whoa. What do you mean you don't do it? Who are you talking to? You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. You don't...
You're trying to tell me what I don't do? I told you, I'm the guy that introduced innovation into radio. I'm the guy that brought you Laura, brought you Rush, brought you Glenn Beck, brought you Jim, all these guys, whoever the hell, Jim Beck, Glenn Rome, I forget. All of these guys add up to one thing, and that one thing is David G. Hall, who has innovated this business to the point where people don't even recognize it anymore.
Well, I'll tell you something right now, man. You got that right, because I don't even recognize my show. I ought to be screaming, man. You know something? I ought to punch you right in the nose the next time I see you.
You ought to what?
You heard me. The next time I see you, I ought to sock you right in the nose.
Sock me in the nose?
Yeah.
Physically assault me?
Yes.
After what I've been through?
What have you been through?
I got sexually assaulted in the garage. Didn't you hear me?
You said you were kidding.
I was, but why would you want to punch me in the nose after it? I was joking about being sexually assaulted.
Listen, the next time I see you, I'd have belt you right in the nose, and I would if it didn't mean getting civilly sued, or...
Getting civilly sued? When you get sued, it is civil. That's very redundant.
Look it, pal. I'm gonna...
Hold on.
No, look it. Next time you call my show with a gag like that, you remember the last time, 9/11, you said you got exposed to anthrax, then you said you were just kidding, then you called 2 weeks later and said you'd been exposed to tuberculosis, and then you said you were just kidding? I almost got arrested by the FBI for that one.
It was great. It was all over the internet. You know what your problem is? You don't want anybody to talk about you. You know, I don't know what happened to you, man. When I first met you, a hungry kid out of Miami back in 1996, you wanted it all. Now you're walking around there holding onto your ass for fear that something's going to drop out of it. If I were you, I would concentrate a little bit more on being unconventional and bringing something exciting and new to the radio and quit just doing the same old, same old. You sound like every other talk show, man. I might as well be listening to, whoever the hell. What's that guy's name?
Who? I don't even know who you're talking about.
That guy, you know. Let me tell you something. When I called up and I said that I'd been sexually assaulted in the parking garage of our radio station, people all over the dial were listening. They were glued to the radio. And then when I said I was kidding, they all leaned back and went, oh, that feels so good. It's just, what a relief. He's just kidding.
Just kidding, huh? None of them got mad like me.
No, none of them are hotheads like you. You're a hothead. You're a hot-headed Mick. That's your problem. Now how do you feel?
I feel like you shouldn't have done it.
And that's why you're a loser. And you're always going to be a loser until you take my advice.
I take your advice, David. I take it all the time. I listen to the things you tell me about methodology, about the way to do the show, about...
There you go, talking over the audience's head again.
Like you're not, man, talking about introducing innovation.
When I came on and I said that some guy bent me over the hood of a car down there in the parking garage just before I left, everybody was on it, man. They were all over it. I wasn't talking over anybody's head. As a matter of fact, I was probably speaking the language of a hell of a lot of people. But you, no, you don't want that. I'm very disappointed. I got Bud going for your long-distance records, by the way.
Why?
Find out about expenses. Try to do a show tonight, will you?
That's great. No, that's great. I'm very glad that he's okay. Gee, I thought he'd been sexually assaulted there for a minute. Till I found out he was just joking. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up tonight, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report live from the Republican National Convention in New York City tonight. Margaret Gray, also Chris Norton, a pharmaceutical account exec, is complaining to the Department of Human Resources that he is not allowed to hang pictures of Playmate centerfolds in his cubicle, and yet women are allowed to put pictures of their husbands and boyfriends in their cubicles. And so he is going to talk with us about this rather interesting complaint that he's filed with the Department of Human Resources. Also tonight, Art Bell will be with us. Rastafarian Radio and Jim Rome will join us here on The Phil Hendry Show. The Steve Bozell T-shirt, by the way, available on our website at www.philhendryshow.com. What is the Steve Bozell T-shirt? Well, it's Steve Bozell for president. Vote for me or I'll sue you. You know, Steve, the litigious one, one of the more litigious of our guests, he's going to sue you if you don't vote for him for president. So you might as well. That's something either Kerry or Bush ought to try. I don't know which. Both of them. You can file up class action lawsuit against the American voter for not putting you in office. Tomorrow night, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and Thursday night, Bobby and Steve Dooley. A Georgia man who served 17 years in prison for rape and robbery was freed on Tuesday, 1 week after DNA evidence showed he'd been wrongly convicted of the crime. Then it goes on to say in this news story that I'm reading from, Clarence Harrison, 44, smiled and hugged his attorneys. Man, I wouldn't be smiling. 17 years. That means that when he went inside, he was 27. 27 years old and a heterosexual. Now, 17 years later, 44 and who knows what he is. 44, probably needs Viagra. Missed out on, what happened over the last 17 years? Missed out on the Clinton years, the whole big stock market boom of the 1990s. Missed out on grunge. He missed out on the resurgence of hip hop and rap. He missed out on the advent of the reality show. I mean, this cat's got a lot of catching up to do. And he was inside because he was wrongly convicted. And guess what he was wrongly convicted of? Rape and robbery. Now that doesn't put you very high on the list, on the totem, the pecking order, as it were, on the yard. Are you like to beat up on women?
Well, you see, I was wrongly convicted.
Yeah, sure.
I got me a shank. I made it out of several beer cans. I have strung around my neck. You know I like to keep a necklace of all those pull tabs, right?
Yeah.
I milled them all down in an auto shop. Made a shank out of it. I'm going to bury it in your living tonight. When a bull ain't around, you know. Did you go to lockdown? I'm going to be under your bunk.
Look, I was wrongly convicted of the DNA. Don't start talking to me about DNA, man. They wrongly convicted me, too. Said I set fire to an orphanage. Burned the whole place up. 18,000 kids died. Did you do it? Sure I did. But I ain't gonna let them know that. Now you're laying all that on me? You're gonna rob me of my good time?
I'll tell you something, fish. You're pretty. You're real pretty.
Not a guy, Clarence Harrison, smiled and hugged his attorneys. You know what I'd be saying? I'd be saying this. When I find the dirty, no good, two-bit that put me away, whoever he is, oh, man, when I finally get out of here.
I'd be like that guy that looked up Andy Griffith on that Mayberry RFD. Remember he came walking down the road with a bad leg? Andy thought he was going to come and blow him away.
Andy thought he was going to get blown away by some ex-con that he put away. Turned out the guy wanted to shake his hand and thank him. Prosecutors learned on August 24th Harrison was innocent when results from a DNA test of a rape kit showed that he could not have been the man who sexually assaulted and robbed an Atlanta hospital worker in 1986. So a bunch of crackers down there decided to stick... You think he's black? You think he's black? His name's Clarence. There's a good bet he's black. Harrison, who maintained his innocence throughout his trial and prison sentence, was convicted 1 year later, largely on the basis of testimony from the victim who identified her.
or identified him. Well, that's just it. She identified herself as the attacker, and they didn't believe her. I attacked me. No, we think it was the black man. No, really. She was totally wrong, said Amy Maxwell, executive director of the Georgia Innocence Project, a nonprofit group that attempts to free the wrongfully. So the next time you hear a guy say, I'm innocent, maybe we ought to take a step back. You know what? I'm rethinking Scott Peterson, OJ, Kobe, all of them, man. Even Michael. Guy says he's innocent? He could very well be. I want to see some DNA, baby. I think we really need to seriously look at eyewitness identification because studies have told us that what we've seen today, that in a stressful situation, eyewitness ID is notoriously unreliable. No kidding. 17 years. These are the stories that fascinate me, that this new DNA science is freeing people and freeing them left and right. I mean, guys have been let off a death row. What do you think, man? If you're put away for a murder you didn't commit, and you're on the last mile. You're sitting there, and some guy's playing a harmonica down at the end of the Green Mile there. Just, whoa, I'm going on to heaven. Why don't you just shut that up, man? I said just shut it up!
I'm going on to heaven. Dead man walking.
And you're sitting there, and oh, look at that. They're the Bush twins. But Barbara, she's a nice kid, but I think a little Cordis. Can we get a package of Cordis Slim off to her? I'm joking. They're very lovely. And they're doing shtick. They're doing shtick. They're doing stand-up. They're both like, they're looking at each other like those cornballs do in the Academy Awards. You know how they bring out one real stiff suit after another and they stand and try and do comedy? Like they'll bring out somebody real funny, like, I don't know, like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, Susan, it looks like we are have a good crowd tonight.
Well, that's not what you said.
And they got somebody that's standing there equally as impressive like Mia Farrow, whoever. And they're trying to lay out the laughs. That's what the Bush twins are doing right now. They both look fantastic. They don't look a thing like their old man. Anyway, you sitting on death row after somebody said you're the one that did it, and then 17 years later they let you out because of the DNA evidence, we're going to have to start applying this more rigorously, man. I mean, how many guys are inside that are innocent? Now, yeah, I get it.
Well, I don't give a crap. If the guy hadn't been in the wrong place at the wrong time, never would have happened. And he said,
that's not the reason to kill a guy. Come on, let's get serious about this, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, life's only, I realize life doesn't last forever. For what you got, man, you might as well enjoy a little bit of it. And that ain't exactly what I call a good time, spending it sitting there on the Green Mile with some dude playing a harmonica in one ear and another guy feeding a parakeet that came through the bars in another ear. It's going, he's my friend, he's my smiley. Get that bird out of that cell! Don't you touch it, bull! Good God. Rape and robbery. I would come out of there the most bitter man. The first thing I'd do is buy a gun and a map to everybody's house that testified against me. I'd be back inside before you knew it. And this time, they'd have all the evidence they needed. Oh, well, he's a better man than me, Clarence Harrison. He smiled, he hugged his attorneys and supporters after a DeKalb County judge granted a motion for a new trial and then dismissed all charges against him, clearing the way for his release. Probably with all the paperwork and the red tape, he'll be out, say, around 2010. Clarence, we'll be getting you out pretty soon. Yeah, the man said, yeah, I know what he said. Don't worry about it. Why don't you have another coffee in Danish, okay? All right, coming up, we got the Margaret Gray Campaign 2004 report. Chris Norton with a very interesting story to tell tonight. Chris is a pharmaceutical marketing rep who has filed a complaint of sexual harassment. He is not allowed to hang pictures of nudes in his cubicle, but why are women allowed to have pictures of their husbands and boyfriends in their cubicles? It's an interesting debate. Tomorrow night, it's Jay Santos. Thursday night, Bobby and Steve Dooley. And don't forget the Steve Bozell T-shirt available at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
time now for Rastafarian Radio.
Get up, stand up.
Yeah.
Stand up.
Our regular host, John Barbarity, not here. But tonight,
get up, stand up.
Bill McCoy filling in for him.
Stand up for your rights.
Thank you very much. I'm Bill McCoy, and I usually do weather here at the station, and I'm filling in for John Barbarity, who is not with us this evening. And I hope you enjoy the selections that I play for you this evening. I have to tell you very candidly, I'm more at home looking over a Doppler scope or seeing how the tropical waves are shaping up over the Sahara. I know very little about the Rastafarian music, but I will certainly try and educate myself. I don't know whether this interests any of the people listening to this program, but the Bush twins were just on right now giving their address to the Republican convention, and I have to tell you, I had some filthy thoughts. Okay, now, well, let's listen to Bob Marley and Get Up, Stand Up.
Don't give up the fight.
Okay, I guess what we can do, and I'm very unfamiliar with how the rain or shine fairy and music goes, but let's get a phone call in before we go too far. And I'm going to talk. This is Big C. Hello, Big C. Welcome to our Rastafarian show.
You know what I'm saying, man? You want to press it?
I'm not colored. I'm not that.
Are you going to press him on one night, man?
I'm going to just guess that you're requesting a song, huh?
No, man, you don't. Hey, man's name?
Well, here it is. Here's a song for you, okay? Just get out of here.
No, man, I set him up.
Here is a great song, and this is Culture on our Rastafarian show. Well, you know, a little bit of that goes a long way with me. There is Culture, I believe is the name of the group. Oh, look at this. There's some white men. That's not important. In case many of you are calling in and we are getting complaints, I'm not John Barbarity. I am Bill McCoy. I do weather here, both for our FM and AM and for our TV station. And I think Jamba's on the line. Jamba, is that you?
No, man. That was him all the time.
Oh, this is the same gentleman. Well, I'm trying to find the record.
No, man. I'm on the white. Me, I'm not same. Hey, man.
Yes, sir.
Money go. Like I'm on the west end.
I don't know what the hell he's... All right, here is UB40, and You Bug Me, or whatever. I don't know what it's called. Sounds like a cartoon, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like a cartoon that we used to enjoy?
Hey, man, why don't you show your mom what that?
All right. Well, I swear to God, that's great. That's UB40 and blah, 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 something. All right, I just had the word here from the doctor at the hospital that John Barbarity apparently smoked a drug and was hospitalized, so that's all we know. And Jamba, is that you?
No, man. About a story.
I don't know who this person is. I need someone to interpret. Bill, can you interpret for me?
Yes, that's Stu Bentley. He's the owner of the station. He's fired you about 6 times, and you haven't understood.
Am I fired?
Come on.
Oh, okay.
Yes, another Phil Henry Show radio bit where the host gets fired. Why? Because that's reality.
All right, man, that was cool. Love to play this music, but this is a talk show. You're going to have to go someplace else. Go find your kicks musically somewhere else, baby. The only music that I enjoy is the stuff in my car on my way home. And in my CD player, I have Electric Light Orchestra. I'm kidding. I got a lot of old music. Anyway, the Bush Twins, you heard Bill McCoy reference it. The Bush Twins were on just moments ago, and I got to tell you right now, they were slamming, smoking, whatever the hell you want to call it. They were gorgeous. Real cute, man. Extra pretty. I don't know what the Democrats were dishing up because I didn't have an opportunity to see too much of the Democratic convention. About the sweetest looking thing I think they had was Teresa Heinz. Look at Newman. It just makes him want to retch every time I express even the slightest opinion that maybe she's not the ugliest woman. She's 65, I understand. Well, who else did they put up in front of the crowd there at the Democratic convention? It was Yo Mama, Obama. Yeah, that cat, you know, and that's fine for the ladies, but ain't doing anything, gunning my engine. So what do we got here at the Republican convention? The Bush twins, they're looking good, man. But they both have that cigarette voice. Yeah, they closed a couple of senior frogs. Don't worry about that. You know full damn well, man, they did, you know, they were challenging a few bartenders to shots. And they brought their moms out, so Laura's out there. But they were looking good. And I say that as a father of a burgeoning, developing young lady. I say that with the greatest of respect.
Man, no ate make a man's hands sweat.
But I say that with the greatest of respect and dignity. Coming up, Art Bell. That's right, Art Bell and General Johnson Jameson will join us tonight. And Jim Rome. Jim Rome of the sports fame will be with us this evening as well. Also, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report and Chris Norton, who will talk about being sexually harassed by the pictures of the boyfriends and husbands in the women's cubicles that he works with. Did I say that right? Probably not. Did I say that right?
Come on.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now, The Phil Henry Show presents Coast to Coast with Art Bell. To call Art west of the Rockies, it would mean his name is Art Bell west of the Rockies. To call him east of the Rockies would be just as weird, and he probably wouldn't turn around. And now, here is Art Bell.
Thank you very much, Ross Mitchell. Tonight on our show, General Johnson Jameson will reveal the most secret of all secrets that have ever been discussed or revealed on our show. Even I am not completely aware of what General Johnson Jameson will talk about tonight. General Jameson will join us for a rare discovery. And we will have the details on our website as soon as we get them. But for now, suffice it to say that General Johnson Jameson will join us in moments with an amazing discovery he promises will shock you to your very core. Ramona, is that outer space, or have I just hit the wrong button?
I don't know.
This is Coast to Coast with Art Bell. We'll be right back. Oh, no, I think those are the people living in the wall in our home. I'm pretty sure, Ramona.
Art Bell will be right back.
Friends, now a word from Peeman Enterprises. Have you ever... Let me ask you something. Have you ever smoked so much weed that when you look in the mirror, you hallucinate that you're a monkey or some kind of ape? Now, with the new Peeman Enterprises Carnival Mirror, it distorts your face so that when your mind is in an altered state and you want to comb your hair, you look at the Peeman Enterprises Carnival Mirror and you look normal. Just another way we at Peeman say you may be six kinds of weird to most people, but at Peeman, you're just another drug casualty. New from Peeman Enterprises. All right, we are back now. General Johnson Jameson joins us from his bunker complex deep beneath the Saskatchewan crust. And a very good evening to you, General Jameson. And we should be in for a surprise tonight, huh?
Well, without a doubt, Art, you need to be sitting down for this one. And I don't care what you're sitting on. But you need to be sitting down. I have discovered, Art, something that came as a utter shock. And it will come as a great shock to many of your listeners, I'm quite sure. I have been going over tapes and transcripts of recent appearances that I have made on your show. And I have found out that I am boring. And I don't know why, but I just listening.
Now, you were listening to tapes of yourself on my show.
Yes, babbling on and on about some swill, idiotic notion after stupid idea, nothing that can be proved, a bunch of numbskull and a sycophants of yours calling in and going, "Oh, General Jameson, you're just so brilliant." I'm an idiot and I'm a dullard. I'm so boring. I want to kill myself. So tonight on your program, I'm blowing my brains right over the back of my French doors here. Hold tight, Art.
General Jameson is about to blow his brains out because he discovered, in listening to transcripts and tapes of his appearances on my show, he is as dull as watching paint dry. General Jameson, are you about to blow your brains out?
Yes, I am. Close the doors, will you, honey? I'm having my wife close the brand new French doors that I just installed on Saturday. I'm not going to put my brains all over them.
All right, I'm going to take it that you're dead, correct?
Yes, I am.
All right. General Johnson Jameson has blown his brains out because he's as boring as hell. This is Coast to Coast.
Are we clear?
What do you mean, are we clear?
Well, I didn't really kill myself. There's so much left for me to discover, Art.
Well, he may be alive, but he's still dull.
Coast to Coast with Art Bell has been brought to you by Peenemann Enterprises' Ass Purse and by six different kinds of sports jackets that can also double as toilet paper and by a radio that can also be a car and by the possibility that sometime in the near future, instead of money, we'll be using animal pelts. This is Coast to Coast.
Yeah, don't leave me this way either. I mean, don't leave me with that information. Is he dead or is he alive? General Johnson Jameson discovered that he's boring and he tried to kill himself, but apparently not. Well, we'll just have to wait for another installment of Art the Bell, Ghost to Ghost. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show. The boss is talking about doing a big concert. That's Bruce Springsteen and friends, a big concert to go up against George Bush and Dick Cheney. We'll have the details for you in just a second. A reminder, Margaret Graves' campaign 2004 report's coming up. Chris Norton will be with us tonight. We also have Jim Rome paying us a visit this evening. And just a variety of other things, including a Vernon Dozier flashback from our show the other night. Can't wait to hear the Romy show, though. That ought to be pretty good. Because I understand that we're going to get an inside glimpse at how Jim's show is done. Or at least what makes it happen. It has something to do with dairy products. I'm not going to go any further than that, okay? And don't forget our Steve Bozell for President t-shirt available on our website at www.philhenryshow.com. Laura Bush continues to talk at the Republican convention. She is getting feted and heralded, and people are giving her standing ovations. Man, if you can't get a standing ovation talking at a friendly convention, you know what I'm saying? In other words, I mean, they'll cheer you just for showing up at these things. And now Bill Moose, who's a Republican from Dexter, Vermont, and he owns, I think he has a nice stamp collection. All right! Yes! You know.
Good evening, I'm Bill Voot.
Yeah!
President Bush is pretty good, in my opinion.
Hey! So you imagine when Laura gets up there, she just walk up there and go, "Aren't my daughters hot?" Ah! Sources say Bruce Springsteen and the 15 or so acts who will tour the first week of October for MoveOnPack.org are now in talks for something even bigger. As this column reported earlier, this is some jackass that writes for Fox News. As this column reported earlier, and no one read, Springsteen, R.E.M., Pearl Jam, all the usual bands. Just all the usual bands. R.E.M. Well, gee, what makes me think those cats would be against Bush? I don't know. There's just something, you know, College Town and Bonnie Raitt. Well, what a shock that is. And others will be involved in a six-pronged concert tour. Sounds like an attack. It doesn't sound so much like a good time as it's a six-pronged assault. You'll be assaulted this October with Bonnie Raitt, Pearl Jam, R.E.M., and other bands that don't sell records anymore. I mean,
other bands that are, will be perennially popular. From October the 1st through October the 8th, beating the drum, I think it says drum, or beating, they'll be beating something against George Bush and Dick Cheney's re-election. So they'll be beating their something against Dick Cheney's re-election. The six tours are set to finish now in six different Florida cities. Now, let me save you the time. Go to see these bands because they're very good bands. But I can tell you right now, just so you don't have to be surprised, they'll say something like this. This is the most important election in the history of America, they will say. I'm pretty sure they'll say that. Never before have we been faced with such an assault on our freedoms, they will probably say. They'll also say, never before has it been more important for you to go out and register your vote. Something like that. And then they'll go on with something like, and we need to take America back and get it away from these people who are, you know, in the oil business, something like that. And it's sort of like what everybody else has been saying for, I mean, you know, like the last 18, 20 months when everyone soured on the whole war on terror thing, when everybody finally realized that the war on terror wasn't going to be over in 5 minutes, so it's going to like last maybe a little bit longer than some people. Even though Bush said it was going to go on for probably a century, right? We really thought he was kidding. We thought the thing would be over like in a cup of coffee. Now this thing's been going on. It's getting a little boring. Can't we get back to the way it was? Now, along those lines, please be, you know, just I want to let you guys know there's going to be a tribute in every city that the Arizona Cardinals play in this season for Pat Tillman. Now, this is going to be a little tough for people who were against the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. I know that there's some people who claim they were in favor of the war in Afghanistan, but against the war in Iraq. But then if you're like Michael Moore, you're not sure. And then there's people who just think the whole American military thing is a bad scene. And there's people who pay lip service. I support the troops, but I don't like what they're doing kind of thing. Anyway, Pat Tillman will be accorded honors in the National Football League cities that the Cardinals do visit this season. So please be forewarned that if you were against the war in Iraq and all that stuff, it may be uncomfortable for you because they're going to have Pat Tillman and they're going to be like saying he was cool and you may want to stay away from that. Now, go get a beer. Go get your 10th beer. Because you don't want to be in the stand saying, yay for Pat Tillman, because what does that mean? Did you dig what he did? Well, I like the fact that he died for his country. You like that he died for his country? Well, of course. Well, what did he die for? Defending his country. Also, then you were in favor of the Afghanistan. Well, no, but so was he defending America or not? Well, no, but he was misled into defending. I mean, he was misled into thinking he was defending. So you're applauding him for being stupid? Yeah, I mean, well, no, I'm not saying he's stupid. I just, why are you twisting everything I'm saying? Especially after I've had the monster beers. They're $4 at the North End Zone. Margaret Gray coming up with her campaign 2004 report, and Chris Norton tonight ahead, also Jim Rome. Don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Reporting from New York, Margaret Gray, campaign 2004. Laura Bush was just speaking before the convention, Margaret, as were the Bush daughters. Laura, what's the Bush daughters' names? I forget.
Barbara Ann and Laura Bush, though.
All right, I'm sorry, but I know that you've got a lot to talk about beyond the events of this evening.
Well, I am in New York City, Phil, this evening. And like Michael Moore, it's no secret that I'm against the Republicans and everything that they stand for. I'm supposed to be, though, reporting on the convention here, and I do have full press credentials. I am fully credentialed as a member of the press, and that's why it did come as a shock today. Even though I'm dealing with the RNC, it came as a shock to be denied admittance to the convention because of my critical reporting, and I suppose I should have expected it. But
were you told that you would not be allowed into the convention by whom? Secret Service?
No, well, they don't do it like that anymore, Phil. What happened was this. I had been up at the Oasis on 59th, which is a salon, and I knew that I had interviews to do tonight, so I got my nails done. And because I'm all over town, and I've been up in Connecticut this past week, I hired a driver to get me around town. Now, Headline Herald's done at about 4:30, I guess. I'm supposed to be at the RNC at around 4:45. I directed the driver to use the handicapped parking and wait for me there, and this is where it started.
Because, well, why the handicapped parking?
All right, and this is where it gets interesting. Any woman listening to you knows, and it's also a comment on how disingenuous the Republicans are when they say they care about women's rights. I directed the driver to use the handicapped parking because any woman will tell you, when you get your nails done, when you have a cuticle worked on, the nails are obviously drying and there's other work that needs to be, you know, you have to wait for the cuticle to heal, and it's impossible to use your hands for several hours. So I told Stephen, who was driving the car, to use the handicapped parking and wait for me there. Now, the Madison Square Garden parking lot is attended by New York police this week, and Stephen was told to get the car out of handicapped parking. This is where I can see what Mike Wallace went through a couple of weeks ago when he tried to intervene on behalf of this driver. I told the police officer that I had just had my nails done, that I cannot use my hands for several hours, that I wanted to have quicker access to the door so Stephen could get the door open for me and then get back to the car. The police officer was very rude, and this is where I think Rudy Giuliani gets all this praise, and for what, I don't know. This was one of the rudest police officers that I have ever spoken to.
All right, well, when they told you you couldn't use the handicapped space, you had just had your nails done, right? Is that correct?
I had, yes. Up at the Oasis, yes.
All right. And you wanted to use... Well, it's not like you have a walking problem or something.
I'm sorry, Phil?
Isn't handicapped parking for people who have disabilities?
Handicapped parking is, yes, for people who are disabled. The problem with our society, the many things that women have to put up with and the many things that women have to endure are not understood by the society at large. And so therefore, first of all, this is where the world and the Republican Party in particular say they understand women, but they don't. Women listening to me know what I'm talking about. When you get your nails done, you can't use your hands. But try and tell that to this cop and to the Republican Party.
So in essence, you were denied the parking space.
Well, he told us we had to move the car. And what Stephen did, he moved the car, but I told him to meet me at the handicap entrance, and I got in there on the south side of the garden.
Did the people not question you there about not being handicapped or not?
No, I told them I was with the press, and the people they put at the doors there understand a little bit better. They aren't trying, you know, to throw their power around like these cops do. So I told them I was with the press, and I showed them my credentials, and I walked past them.
So you were able to use the handicapped entrance because your nails weren't dry. This is what I don't understand. You're equating your nails with being handicapped.
To men, and again, I knew I'd have to deal with, to men, the millions of men, the needs and the inconveniences that women suffer are trivial, and of course, it's difficult for them to understand. Millions of American women who are trying to maintain a nice appearance and have to suffer through a great deal of inconvenience to do it are denied the right to use handicap parking. In my case, it was a double blow because they knew who I was and they were trying to keep me out of the convention.
Margaret Gray joins us. She had trouble getting into the Republican convention this afternoon. She wanted to use the handicap parking. She was denied use of the handicap parking. You don't even have a handicap. And by the way, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You don't have a handicap placard, right?
You can't get a handicap placard that quickly. And yet to millions of American women who are inconvenienced daily by the necessity of keeping up their appearance, unable to drive their cars, unable to open doors, unable to, really unable to conduct even the most simple of dexterities, this is something that the society does not recognize, and we have to put up with this all the time. I told this, and forgive me for using the word, Phil, but I think it applies. I told this New York City pig that...
You know, I don't like that word at all, Margaret.
I'm sorry, Phil, but it really applies.
I don't like that word at all, calling a police officer a pig. The guy's doing his job.
He saw that I was incapacitated, and yet he never once made a move to understand I had to push my way past the people at the door at the handicap entrance. I asked him, please let us park in the handicap parking. I cannot use my hands. He wouldn't.
Most people don't see having your nails done as a handicap.
No, most men don't see that. Women understand what I'm saying. And the Republican Party certainly doesn't understand it. I'm very proud to say I'm a member of a party that is sensitive to these things. I think John Kerry, and this is why I think he's going to make such a wonderful president, Phil, I think John Kerry is sensitive to these things. But to say people don't think, you're not thinking. And
all right, to millions of American women, having their nails done and needing to use handicap parking may be something that is totally understood. You're dealing with a New York City police officer who was a man.
But he has superiors. And in this case, this week, his superiors are the members of the organizing committee of the Republican National Convention. And these people send their orders down to all of their little, and I know you don't like the word, Phil, but all of their little pigs. And
I don't want you to use that word. I'm going to hang up on you if you use that word in reference to a police officer one more time.
You know what I think is really ironic?
I mean it, Margaret. I'm really going to hang up on you if I hear you use that word in reference to any police officer one more time.
All right, I won't use the word, but I find extremely insulting is that you get upset over me characterizing a man, I think, fairly, and yet the fact that I needed to use that handicap parking is lost on you because you refuse to understand the reality of women today. Now, I had my nails done at a salon that is not inexpensive in anticipation of doing a great many interviews tonight. I've got two planned with Laura Bush. I've got another one planned with Richard Lugar. I don't know why it is a working woman is forced into using regular parking when a legitimate handicap...
Oh, wait a minute. Let's stop right there. A legitimate handicap...
Yes, a legitimate handicap.
Having your nails done, not being able to use your hands.
Are you familiar with... You're married, Phil. I'm sure Maria has had her nails done at least once.
My wife gets her nails done regularly, yes. To be honest with you, I've never noticed whether she can use her hands or not. Generally, I'm gone during the day. And I don't know.
Well, that's really what I'm talking about. It's noticing these things. They're not noticed this week in New York, Phil, not as long as the Republicans are in town. And as a result, this woman, this female, who was attempting to do her job, was denied equal access under the law, which is really a violation of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. And as such, I think needs to be addressed.
By not being allowed to use handicap parking, you're telling me that was a 14th Amendment violation. It may be a 14th Amendment violation for handicapped people. If you don't have a handicap placard, though...
It's impossible to get a handicap placard that quickly. You get your nails done, and within 15 minutes, you are at the Madison Square Garden doing interviews.
Well, then why did you have your nails done so close to this time?
Because I thought I was in a civilized country where women would be allowed, in this instance, to use handicap parking. I've been denied this before. But at the Republican National Convention, I didn't think it would happen. As small as these people are.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Maybe I'm hearing something that I don't understand. Margaret Gray is with us. She's reporting on the campaign for us throughout campaign 2004. She was not allowed handicap parking at the Republican National Convention this afternoon. She had just had her nails done, and they were still wet, and she wasn't able to use the door, wasn't able to use the steering wheel. She was driven there. She wanted to use handicap parking. They denied her that. She thinks this is just one more reason why the Republican Party doesn't speak for women at all, even though she has been critical of the Republican Party in her reporting. 1-800-449-8686. First of all, the question is, how do you get a handicap placard that quickly to women who have just had their nails done so that they can access handicap parking? And secondly, what about handicap entrance? She said she had to push past the people at the handicap entrance to get into Madison Square Garden tonight, even though she was fully credentialed. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Margaret Gray, campaign 2004, later on tonight on our show, Chris Norton and Jim Rome on The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're trying to get reports on the Republican National Convention all this week from Margaret Gray. She is with us in New York City. Today, you were denied access until you forced your way through a handicap entrance to the Republican Convention. You weren't really denied access, though, were you?
I absolutely was denied access, Phil. I don't.
Well, you were. You wanted handicap parking. If you had parked anywhere else.
Well, Phil, it's like asking this. Are you allowed to use the men's room? And you say to me, well, no, I wasn't, Phil. And then I could say to you, well, you could use the ladies' room. And you would say to me, well, my God, why should I have to use the ladies' room when I'm perfectly entitled to use the men's room? That's what happened to me today. Did I get denied access? No. If you are saying I could have put myself through the embarrassment of having to park in an out-of-the-way place where I was not able to get immediately to the entrance to Madison Square Garden. I'm already working at a handicap because of my nails.
Well, that's just it. You've got wet nails, and you wanted those to qualify for use to be able to park in handicap parking. And
well, you know something? The more we talk, the more I realize that you're not understanding what I'm saying. I use a very fine cuticle brush. I use a very specific kind of nail care. It is something that a woman in my capacity has to be mindful of. I can't just go, and you'll forgive me, I can't just go to your local Vietnamese nail salon. I have to use ultra-professionals. It takes a while for those nails to dry, and it takes them a while for you to be able to use your hands. Why can't I use handicap parking? Why?
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Let me take some phone calls from a lot of women calling tonight, Margaret. Gail, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Gail, go ahead.
Yes. I'd like to make the point. I hope I don't lose signal before I
yes,
get
ma'am.
A chance to make my point.
We can hear you fine.
I'm a 39-year-old female married to a wonderful husband, and I have two children. I love getting dressed up, love getting my nails done. But I do know that even in top-quality salons, they have dryers that you can dry your nails under, be done in with a spray 15 to 20 minutes. I think this woman is...
Not if you want to keep a really good sheen to the nail. Now, the top salons in New York City will tell you that those dryers are going to dull the finish. Yes, if you need your nails dry immediately, but they're going to dull the finish, and you've just spent a lot of money for a 50% job. No.
Okay, well, then that's fine. If you want to spend more money on that, that's fine. But I guarantee you that my job looks just as good as yours. Besides
well,
that...
But what I do for a living... What I do for a living...
For you to make the statement that all women understand you, that is totally false.
Oh, it
one
is.
One thing...
It is?
I have... Yes, I have handicapped relatives that need to use those handicap spacing, and for you to say that you need handicap spacing because your nails are wet,
do you see how,
get in a vehicle and drive.
Do you see how brainwashed you are, Gail? And I say that with the greatest of... Do you see what society has done
no.
to all of us?
No.
You don't... You're not entitled... You have every bit as much right to a handicap space.
No. You're not doing anything but using this as an agenda to get your point across and to badmouth the Republican Party.
The Republican Party has stripped the rights from women for years. When are we going to fight back?
Do you think John Kerry would give you a handicap sticker to have your nails dried so you can park in handicap? No, I don't think he would.
I know very well that the Democratic Party is very sensitive to the needs of women, and if we need handicap spaces, for instance, when we are going through our time in the bunch, other things such as that, when our nails... We are entitled to handicapped parking, and the time has come for us to stand up and say yes, now.
No, you're not.
Now
people without legs and people that are handicapped are entitled to handicapped parking. You're not entitled to handicapped parking when your nails aren't dry.
Wait a minute. If a man has one leg and a man is missing both legs, is the man missing both legs more entitled to the handicapped space than the man who's only missing one leg? That's what you're saying. You're saying because my handicap is not as profound.
No, I'm saying that they're more entitled to handicap than you because your nails are not dry. That is, it's just
you
ridiculous.
You are saying that my handicap is not worthy because it's not like losing a leg. Well, I can tell you, for the several hours that a woman waits to have her fingers dry, she doesn't have hands. And that, to me, is every bit as traumatic as anything.
No, you know what? Lose a finger, lose a hand, and then you won't have hands, and you'll be very thankful for your wet nails.
Do you hear yourself, Gail? Do you hear how you're allowing all of those years of the men pushing you up against a wall and wagging
darling,
a finger in your face?
No, you listen to me. I am a very proud woman to be married to a man. I would like to know your marital status.
Who tells you what to do? I am very happily married for 31 years, but I'll tell you this right now. My husband doesn't pin me up against a wall when he comes home from work, grab me by the hair and say, get in there and put me some dirt.
No, neither does mine. Mine vacuums when I need him. Mine cooks supper when I need it. My husband does whatever I need him to do.
I have a job, and I don't mean to belittle you. I have a very important job. I'm a journalist. I don't know what you do for a living, but let's face it, all right?
I have a very important job, too. I'm a housewife and a mother.
Whatever.
Well, what do you mean, whatever?
Well, I'm not going to get through to her.
All right, Gail, thank you very much. I appreciated your comments.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. What do you mean, whatever?
Well, I have a very important job. I'm a housewife. Of course that's an important job, but it's not as important. What I was doing today, I had an appointment with Laura Bush. I had two interviews, one of them with Rich Lugar, the senator from Pennsylvania. I'm walking in there with nails that are half done. I can't use doors. I can't use steering wheels. And the New York City pigs...
Don't say pig. Don't call the cops pigs.
Why was I not allowed handicap parking?
Because you had wet nails, and supposedly that doesn't qualify. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back here, and I don't mean to argue with our guest. I guess she knows what she's talking about better than me. I don't like the use of the word pig. And she's calling the cop that wouldn't let her park in a handicapped space a pig. She had her nails done. She feels it is a status that should allow women to have handicapped parking when they need it. 1-800-449-8686. Do wet nails qualify as a handicap? 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Talking with Margaret Gray from New York City at the Republican National Convention. You had your nails done this afternoon on 59th Street, and you wanted handicap parking because you couldn't use your nails. And you said that this is something most women would understand, that you know they would appreciate being able to use handicap parking because for a good several hours you can't use your nails after you get a manicure. I haven't heard women saying that.
Well, the thing you need to understand, Phil, is that the women that are calling in, they don't sound like professional women. Most of them are housewives. One of the things that you need to understand, after you get your nails done, a clear nail polish can be used as a top coat or a sealer. It does minimize chipping or cracking, but you need to use it every day for 7 days to give the nail the protection. And when you're not getting your nails done every day, you need to have a good sealer put on that takes a while for it to dry. These women that I'm talking, a lot of these, you know, that are calling in, I don't know who they are, they don't get that. And just for the ladies that are listening, for those of them that are not professionals, understand that nail polish thinner can be used to thin out nail polish that's become too thick. And you can keep the polish in the refrigerator and make it last longer. Now, these are just tips that I know as a traveling woman. But a lot of these that are calling in may not know that.
But by and large, you say this is something women understand. Once you get your nails done,
you should have handicap parking made available to you.
Well, it goes without saying, it's second nature to every woman. Just about every woman that actually works for a living. And I don't mean to be...
Well, that sounded disrespectful.
No, I don't mean to be just... Women that are out in the world.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over here to line one. This is Wanda. Wanda, go ahead. You're on with Margaret Gray on The Phil Henry Show.
Well, I think Margaret Graham is all wrong. I know everything she said. She makes a good advertisement, but not for people that need it, for handicapped parking.
Well, women who get their nail... Do you use a thinner? Do you thin your nail polish?
No. I don't have it sitting around that long that it needs to, that it dries out.
Well, you really need to... Are your nails chipping or cracking?
No.
They're not. Well, on natural nails, you do need to keep a clear coat. And so I have to have that for several hours, and that's why I need handicapped parking. Now, back in your day, I don't know if you worked or what did you do?
I was a nurse.
All right, you were a nurse. So you didn't really need to keep your nails good because you're working with your hands a lot, and I imagine they get coated with, I don't know what you're... If you got human feces under your nails or...
Oh, God, okay.
You are disgusting.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
You are really sick.
I'm sick.
Yes, you are.
Because I asked for handicapped parking, something any woman should be entitled to, who is either on her cycle, and you know what I mean, don't you, Wanda?
Yes, I do.
All right, wouldn't you appreciate being able to park close to the handicapped parking?
How do you... What good is handicapped parking going to do you?
You don't have to walk as far. You're able to have people help you by the arm. Wanda, can you believe that pig asked me to move my car? See, that's the thing that really bothers me.
No, yes, I can, because that is really disgusting that you would take up. What would you do if you seen somebody pull in?
Are you using a moisturizing cream or a lotion on your hands?
What would you do if you seen someone pull in with a grandma or someone that was handicapped, and there was no place to park? But you had to have that handicapped parking because of your cockeyed nails.
Well, no, what I would do is I'd say she's got to get in line like everybody else.
You are disgusting.
Why? Are you saying I'm supposed to wait in line for her?
She said
of course.
Well, I don't understand that because...
Look, and if a woman...
Well, it seems like you don't understand a whole lot of anything. It's just me.
If so...
I happen to be a fully credentialed member of the press. I had an interview today with the First Lady of the United States.
I don't care
do
if
you
had an interview
that,
with the devil.
Do you
it
think
didn't
that
give
that
you any right to have a handicapped parking place.
Wanda, are you familiar with the devil?
No, but I know what he's up to.
You know, I think both of you could go straight to the living devil.
Well, she hung up, Wanda.
Well, I guess I got her goat.
Yeah, when you told her to go to the devil, I think that made her angry.
Oh, good for her.
Now, you were a nurse, huh?
What?
You were a nurse?
I was a nurse of fate. And then
hold on for a minute. Ms. Gray, if you're going to hang up on me, don't call back.
Why is it still on the air?
What do you mean, why is it still on the air?
Whoever that is, who is that? Is that Wanda? Wanda.
Yes?
Handicap parking is wasted on the handicap. If they're so handicapped, why are they driving?
Oh!
If they're so handicapped, why are they driving? That's my question for America.
Well, if you can't park...
La, 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 la. I don't even want to hear your answer.
Well, that's
la, la,
all
la,
right.
La, la, la.
Oh, grow up.
No, I don't even want... She doesn't have an answer for it.
All right, look, Wanda, thank you.
You're welcome.
How do you like me now?
I don't.
Yeah, because I had a really good comeback.
Like what?
I said if they're so handicapped, why are they driving?
Because they're not always driving, because they have people to drive them, and they come there and park their car and let them get out because they can't walk very far.
You know what I really find insulting? That this is Urkel calling in, pretending he's an old woman. I really find that insulting.
Well, good.
Wanda, I appreciate your phone call. This is Phil Henry. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your phone call. This is Phil Henry.
Why do you have to be rude?
Phil, I am making a point for a lot of women.
No, but why do you got to be rude?
I'm not being rude. I'm talking to a woman that doesn't speak my language. I speak the language of the 21st century woman, the professional. The woman who, yes, gets her nails done. And then, yes,
interviews Laura Bush, and yes, may need handicapped parking. I am the new woman. I'm not sitting there and telling people to go to the devil and, well, bye, don't you know, and this kind of thing. It really, you know, I'm really out of sorts with this. I really am. And I'm getting a little, I've got a headache, and I don't know where the Midol is.
I understand. Hold on for me, okay? I just got a few more calls to get through here. Tina, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead. You're on with Margaret Gray. Yes.
Are you talking?
Yes, Tina.
Are you speaking to me?
Yes, Tina. Go right ahead.
Yes, Ms. Gray. I am a modern woman. In fact, I'm leaving work right now. I'm driving in my vehicle with a handicap tag. And I am eligible to park in handicapped spaces, which I don't use on good days.
When were your nails done?
I got my nails done today.
All right, that's why. See, this is, thank God you called in. Because.
But I wanted to tell you, I didn't get a handicapped tag because I got my nails done. I got a handicapped tag because I have RA. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I do. It's rigid. Alchemy, something, isn't it?
It's rheumatoid arthritis.
That's what I was going to say, yes.
And it does nasty things to your body, and I have a handicap tag for that sole purpose only.
But you could have that handicap tag for your nails.
No. I wouldn't want a handicap tag for my nails. If I could get rid of what I have, I would skip from the farthest parking space in any lot in any state in this United States.
Tina, believe me, you wouldn't.
Oh, yes, I would.
Having wet nails is hell on living earth. It's hell.
Are you listening to this lady? She's got rheumatoid arthritis, and you're saying that wet nails is hell on living earth.
It's every bit as... I'm not saying it's like having rheumatoid arthritis. Forgive me, Tina. I don't mean to say that.
I'm leaving my job right now. I have worked all day.
You get to have a handicap placard. Why don't I? That's all I'm trying to say.
Because you don't have a handicap.
Fingernails
are not a handicap. I enjoy having nice nails, too.
It's called a temporary
handicap. And I work in the public.
It's called an impermanent temporary handicap. It's like, for instance, if you had Bell's palsy. Bell's palsy goes away. But for the 4 or 5 weeks that you have it, your face is immobilized. One half of your face is paralyzed. Would you call that a handicap? Of course you would, especially if you were Mr. Henry. You worked on the radio, and suddenly you're talking out of, you know, a slurred speech. And you can make jokes about it, but so be I talk like that. You know, that would be... But then his face would come back. The face would spring back. Same thing with nails. Yes, it goes away, but when I get my nails done, I can't do anything. And that pig today...
If you say pig one more time...
And there's Tina feeling sorry for herself. So what if you have...
No, I don't feel sorry for myself. That's just it. I take shots that cost a lot of money so that I don't have to worry about whether I can dress myself tomorrow or not.
RA is the Retarded Association. Is that correct?
Yes.
What do you mean the Retarded Association?
I'm sorry. Did she say...
Rheumatoid arthritis is what she said.
Well, Tina, I think you're a remarkable woman. I appreciate and love everything that you're doing. I'm sorry you're being a little selfish, just because you get to...
No, I will gladly, if you're ever in a parking space and I'm having a bad day, I will have your car towed myself. So come to Georgia and park.
Have you ever soaked your hands in warm soapy water for a few minutes?
Oh, will you come on?
Yes, I have, and paraffin spa, and I have a bunch of other things that are necessary for a woman for her upkeep to where she looks like a human.
There you go. That's
and I take pride
about.
In my appearance.
And yet they want us to walk around like
you
animals.
You do not need a handicapped space.
They want us to walk around like animals, Tina, with our knuckles dragging on the ground. Of course, in your case, with rheumatoid arthritis, maybe they already do. But I would.
That is the coldest, most cruel thing I think I've ever heard on this show.
What?
What you just said.
Well, Phil,
I demand that you apologize to this lady right now.
For what?
For saying what you said about, in your case, your knuckles probably already do drag on the ground.
Mr. Henry, it's
really
all right.
A bad thing to
because
say?
I just consider this a horse.
Well, in my case, when you consider the source, consider Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, a lovely town of...
Oh, shut up. Thank you, Tina, very much for your call. I appreciate
All right.
it. And I apologize on behalf of our guest. And you have a good day and a good evening.
All right. Thank
All right,
you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. In your case, your knuckles probably already do.
Didn't she say she had rheumatoid arthritis?
Then why make a joke out of it? Let me go over here to Ethel on the Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray feels that wet nails qualifies her to a handicapped parking space at the Republican National Convention. Go ahead, Ethel.
Who in the world said that you could park in a handicapped spot?
Well, who said it? Bill Fleminger.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean,
you should try
okay,
being
what's your
handicapped
problem?
For half hour.
Well, what is your problem? What do you got?
What is my problem?
Are you in the retarded association, too?
Yeah.
Because
I'm physically handicapped. I'm more of a woman than you will ever be.
What do you have? What? I'll compare yours to mine.
What difference does it make what I have?
I'll compare my handicap to yours.
I've been in a wheelchair for 48 years.
All right, all right. Let's take just 4 hours of you being in a wheelchair against 4 hours of me having wet nails.
You would have had. You got a wet head too.
I've got just as much of a handicap.
You do not.
I've got a wet head. Aren't you cute? Say, do you have one of those electric wheelchairs with an orange flag on it? I hope
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when I'm coming home late at night after a few drinks, I bet you aren't handicapped at all. I bet you use a wheelchair because you're lazy. Don't you use a wheelchair because you're lazy? Does your wheelchair
yeah,
have a
sure.
basket? Does it have a basket?
Yeah.
Do you carry groceries?
48 years I've been lazy.
How many people?
Ethel, thank you. She's a very strange...
obnoxious woman.
Is it still there?
Yeah, it's still here. Look, I can't, I can't go. She's obviously had a little bit to drink at the convention. Margaret Gray, if you got wet nails, you ought to use that handicapped parking space. Coming up this evening, Chris Norton will be with us. And what do you want now?
I wanted to know if she ever drank and then drove in her wheelchair. You know, did she kill anyone? Did she drag children under it? I want to know.
She hung up on herself. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
From Los Angeles, the Jim Rome Show.
How you doing? Welcome back. Hour two. And if you're not getting the first hour of the show, bang the monkey. Just go home, get your monkey out and bang it. Do you want to get hour number three of the show? Miss really good hour. Had on A-Rod. Had on Keyshawn. It was an awesome interview. If I do say so myself, had on Eli Manning. A-Rod, and his dad Rod on. Had on Paul Ham. The Ham Man. Tumbling Ham. That's what we call him. Take your phone calls this hour. Maybe if you've got an email, send it to HaveATakeDon'tSuck.com, HaveATakeDon'tSuck.com. I'm Jim Rome. We're talking about this hour, Vinny Testaverde. He's so done. He is so done. Stick a fork in it. Eli Manning, good luck with those knees in New York. And also, this hour, I'm going to let you in a little secret about myself. The fact that I am actually an autistic 8-year-old boy, and the only thing that makes me talk like this is the enormous amounts of cheese that Travis feeds me, right, Travis?
That's right, Jim.
So give me some cheese, okay? Not Swiss, not Limburger. I need sharp cheddar cheese. Let's go to the phones. My man Ducky, hey. Hey, Ducky D-Town, how you doing, man?
Hey, Romy, thanks for the vine. Hey, Romy, did you see that article that was written in the paper the other day about the guy?
You're out. Okay, where's the cheese, okay? Because I don't get any cheese, I'm going to start reverting to being the 8-year-old boy. I need some cheese, Travis, okay?
Well, we're all out of the sharp cutter, all out of Swiss.
I don't want Swiss. I don't want no Swiss. I want to have Limburger.
Or I'm going to become... I'm a little boy now. I'm just a little boy. I gotta have cheese, cause I'm only a little, I'm 8 and I'm autistic. Oh, gotta go to a commercial like making an ass out of myself. I sound like a butthole. I gotta go to a commercial.
The Jim Rome Show will be right back.
Give me some cheese, will you? Okay,
that's better. Oh, thank God. Welcome back. I got some sharp cheddar cheese. This is a bummer. This is a downer. Not to be able to have the cheese that I need. Give me some more cheese, Travis.
Oh, I got the Limburger.
If I don't get any cheese, I'm going to sound...
See, I'm about my little boy now again. God damn you to hell.
The Jim Rome Show is done by Phil Henry. Won't be back.
Damn all of you to the living hell. And remember, if the monkey won't put me up, bang the monkey. Bang the monkey.
Phil Henry will be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to have a young man by the name of Chris Norton on with us, who's got a very interesting case in front of the Department of Human Resources. He is, what he says, fighting back in his workplace. He was told to take down pictures of women, some of them semi-nude, others nude in his work cubicle. And he's fighting back, saying that the women in the office don't have the right to have pictures of their husbands and boyfriends on their desks. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us tomorrow night in our first hour. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And I would also like to tell you, on Thursday night, Bobby and Steve Dooley will be with us. And, of course, Friday night, Ted Bell. Don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com. We're joined now by Chris Norton. Chris works for a pharmaceutical firm in Redondo Beach, California, as a telemarketer. He is 28 years of age. And you were told, Chris, a couple of months back, I think, what is the date that you have exactly?
It was on July 15th.
July 15th, that you had to remove photographs that you had hanging in your cubicle that you had taken out of what magazines?
These were magazines that were Playboy, Penthouse, and adult magazines, magazines erotica. And I had photographs of the women that were hanging in my cubicle, and I was told by Ms. Gentry at that time.
Now, that lady is Barbara Gentry. She's the sales manager there?
Barbara Gentry, yes. And I was told by her at that time that I would be dismissed if I didn't take them down because I was guilty of some kind of sexual harassment situation. And I told her that I did understand, but that I wanted to have the women in the office, therefore, take down pictures they had of their husbands and boyfriends.
Why?
Because I felt that it was sexual harassment on their part against me.
Why are having pictures of boyfriends and husbands, why does that sexually harass you?
When women have pictures of their boyfriends and their husbands on their desks, they're basically saying to anybody that walks by, these are the men that I'm having sex with. And
do you really honestly think that that's what that was, what is intended?
Well, when I had the pictures of the women in my cubicle, I was not intending it to be sexual. I was simply saying that these are women that I enjoy looking at. I mean, I admire these women. For me, it's not...
If you've got pictures of semi-nude or nude women in your cubicle and you're saying it's not sexual, then what is it?
Well, I tried to explain this to my supervisor. I said that See, one of the things about me is that I've you know, I don't want to talk about myself, but I'm very good looking. I've been with a lot of women, so I don't automatically think about sex when I see a good looking woman. Women, I admire these women. I mean, they've accomplished a lot with their lives, in my opinion. They've been Playmate of the Month or Penthouse Pet of the Month or what have you to achieve. I mean, it's basically a one in a million shot. So it's not just about sex, because I've had, you know, I don't want to say, but I've had a lot of sex in my life. It's just women that I find interesting. So my sales manager said they're offensive, okay? And they told me that I would be fired if I didn't take them down, and that kind of scared me.
Well, that would scare anybody. Did you take the pictures down?
Yes, I did. But here's where I found my grievance with the Department of Human Resources. I've been discriminated against because in my office, the female employees are allowed to have pictures of their husbands and their boyfriends, men who they are actively having sex with. And I told my sales manager that I was offended by that. And
all right, what do you find offensive about that? What is offensive about pictures of men that these women may be having relations with?
Well, I told Ms. Gentry that if any man walks by the cubicle of a girl who they may think is hot looking or whatever, and she's throwing back into your face the picture of the guy she's basically giving it up for every night, and that's offensive. And
well, what if another man, not you, had a picture of his wife or his girlfriend? What would you say to that?
I'm not interested in what a guy's picture is.
No, well, what I'm saying is it all right for men to have pictures of their girlfriends and wives, or is that offensive?
Well, to a girl who may be attracted to you, yeah, because she may think, you know, that you're hot and you're throwing it up in her face that you are having this lady. And I'm sure my sales manager, Ms. Gentry, is offended by the nudes because in some way it's sending her the message that I have certain standards of women or something.
All right, let's look at that one. I'm going to give our number out here, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 with Chris Norton, a 28-year-old telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California, who was told to take down the nude pictures in his office cubicle. He is firing back through the Department of Human Resources that women shouldn't have pictures of their husbands or their boyfriends because that is advertising the men that they're having sex with. Suppose a woman walks by your cubicle and thinks that you're an attractive man and you have these naked women hanging in your cubicle. Isn't that offensive to them? Suppose they're attracted to you.
But I'm not having sex with those women. I'm not having sex with them. See, I'm very sexual, but these are just women that I admire. I'm not throwing it up in nobody's face that I'm having sex with them because they're just the Playmate of the Month. I mean, I probably could, you know, I mean, because I am pretty attractive, I probably could if I wanted to, if I met them. I don't have any doubt they would probably be, you know, because of my sexuality, they would be attracted to me. But I'm not having sex with them, okay? But the women in my office who have pictures of the men you're having sex with, if you think they're hot and they're throwing it up in your face, yeah, this is the guy that's giving it to me every night. To me, that's...
All right, do you think that's the intent of women when they put a picture of a man who they love, their husband or their boyfriend? Do you think they're actually trying to say, hey, look at who's giving it to me every night? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, you're laughing at it, but that's what it is. I mean, that's what it is.
But, I mean, these are people that they love.
Well, these are women that I admire. Why do I have to take down my pictures of women that I'm not having sex with, and yet the other women in the office who made me take my pictures down, they have pictures of men they're having sex with every night, and they're giving it up to them every night?
All right, let me just back up so I know. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Suppose she wants the pictures down because they are nude, and that is unacceptable in the workplace. Forget about whether she's attracted to you or whether she thinks that... Suppose nudity, the fact that you had nude pictures of women in your cubicle, let's just say that is the standard. What about that?
Well, I mean, in that case, the pictures of the boyfriends and the husbands that the women have, many of these women, people who complain about me, these pictures of their husbands and boyfriends imply that these men are, that they give it to them every night. Okay, so you're saying my nude, you know, I've had nudes, semi-nudes, I do collect nudes, and I do have them in my cubicle. But I'm not having sex with them. So you're saying the fact that I do collect nudes and semi-nudes, and I do hang some nudes in my cubicle, is bad, but the women who have pictures of their boyfriend are saying, yeah, I'm giving it up to him every night in every possible position. And
how can you extrapolate that from a picture of a husband? I'm giving it up to him every night.
The fact is, if it's a husband, there's sex involved. The fact that I collect nudes and do enjoy nudes, but I don't have sex with them, why do I have to take my pictures down?
What has the Department of Human Resources said?
Well, I mean, they're taking my case under advisement right now, but I've got an attorney who's looking into it because they threatened to fire me, and I'm claiming sexual harassment and also sexual discrimination in the workplace. Okay.
Well, what are you asking them to do?
Well, what
are you asking the Department of Human Resources to do?
I want the ability to display pictures of nudes and semi-nudes that I admire that may be nude or semi-nude in my cubicle if these women get to have pictures of their husbands and boyfriends, which implies they're the men they have sex with. Because just because a woman's photographed nude doesn't mean it's about sex any more than a picture of a husband's about sex. But if they say my nudes are about sex, then I can petition the Department of Human Resources to say that their pictures of their husbands are about sex too. And I've got a lot of people interested in my case because nobody has looked at it that way before. And as a result, I may be, you know, breaking ground here. Maybe a new law can be made up or something.
All right, Chris Norton with us here, 1-800-449-8686. Sounds to me like he's in a casino someplace. He's saying that having pictures of naked women that he's never met before in his office cubicle is no more offensive than the picture a woman may have of her husband on her desk. Because he says the picture of that husband is implying this is a man that I have sex with, whereas Mr. Norton cannot make that claim with those women whose pictures, naked or otherwise, he hangs in his cubicle. When you put a picture of your husband or your boyfriend on your desk or your girlfriend or your wife, are you throwing it up in the world's face, this is the person I have sex with? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton. He's 28 years old, telemarketer from Redondo Beach, on his work-related problems. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, a lot of women find me very sassy.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Chris Norton joins me, a young man who has filed a grievance with the Department of Human Resources on the fact that he had to take down pictures of what you call nudes and semi-nudes that you had in your office cubicle, and that women are still allowed to have pictures of their husbands and boyfriends on their desks, pictures that imply active sexual relationships you weren't having with these nude pictures you had in your office. Now, I got to ask you, where are you right now?
Right now I'm at Schumann's Indian Bingo in Santa Barbara.
You're up at the Indian Bingo?
It used to be called Indian Bingo. It's Indian Casino. It's Schumann's Casino.
Okay. Are you working right now?
No, I'm on suspension pending the investigation. But I am on suspension with pay. So
they're not allowing you to work while this is an ongoing investigation?
That is correct, yeah.
All right, there's going to be a few people confused about your point of view, because it's very original, it's very unusual, I should say. The fact that when a woman puts a picture of a man on her desk, she's implying sexual relationship, which you find harassing.
I'd be happy to help your audience through it, because I know it's pretty technical. It's pretty technical. This is an area that I do understand. I am single. I do have, I've had active sexual relationships with a lot of different women, so whatever I can do to help.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Shannon, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey.
Yes, Shannon.
I totally disagree with this man. I think that he's lost it. If putting a picture up of your husband where you work, I mean, a husband is not somebody that you are.
I know, but aren't you basically saying here's who's giving it to me?
Excuse me?
Well, ain't you saying that when you put a picture of your husband up at work, you're basically saying this is the guy that's giving it to me every night?
No, I'm not. I'm saying this is the man that I share my entire life with. This is the man I'm married to. I'm spending the rest of my life with him. I love him.
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying, hey, he's giving it to me. That has nothing to do with it.
Are you kidding me? Of course you have sexuality in your marriage, right?
Of course.
Okay.
But what?
What if a guy walks by your desk and he may, I don't know, I've never seen you, so I don't know, but if he thinks you're hot? And you're throwing up in his face, you may think I'm hot, but here's the guy that's giving it to me.
No, I'm not throwing anything up in his face. I'm simply saying I'm taken. I'm married. I am not available. I'm not looking for another man. I don't care who thinks I'm hot and who don't think I'm hot, because I'm with the man I want to be with all the time.
What about that, Chris?
Well, that's why she wears a marriage ring, though.
I mean, I'm going to tell you something.
I forget what they call it, like a marriage ring? Or
A wedding ring.
A wedding ring? Okay, so she was...
I'll be quite honest with you, too. I'm not married. I've been divorced for 10 years. I'm single as they come, but this is how I feel about it. And same with a boyfriend. You don't even have to be married. If you were in a steady relationship, it would be the same way.
Okay, let's say that what you're saying is right. How come I'm not allowed to have nudes or semi-nudes that I admire in my cubicle at work?
It's not.
I'm not having sex with them.
It's not socially acceptable. This is your work environment. Well, if you choose to look at Playboy, Penthouse, whatever, pornos, that's your deal on your time. You're on their time. They are paying you to do a job.
Okay, I'm not doing anything. I've got pictures in my cubicle. You have pictures in your cubicle. I have pictures of women that I admire, but I'm not having sex with. You have pictures of a man who, okay, he's not giving it to you, whatever you want to say, but you're having sex, right?
Let me tell you something. If I was to walk by you at your work and I thought that you were an attractive man, the minute that I saw all your little nudie pictures on your cubicle, I would turn around and walk off. That would be it.
Well,
that is a turn off.
Okay, but first we got to get some out of the way. I mean, I have been approached by a lot of women because I am good looking, and I'm not trying to say that I'm not egotistical or nothing. But are you hot or what? Are you sexy or what?
Well, I think I'm fairly attractive.
Okay.
I'm not ugly by no means, but I'm not the most beautiful woman in the world either.
Okay,
I'm
so that
sure.
kind of means so that kind of means you're kind of hanky or what? I mean.
Well, what difference does it make, sir?
Well, I'm trying to determine because, all right, if she's jealous of the women, of the nudes that I've got, and she doesn't want to admit it, I understand.
She said she'd be...
I'll be honest with you. I don't like it. I don't think that is... I mean, I know men look at naked women every day, and that's something that we have to deal with, and that's okay,
right.
But... If you see a scene in a movie where you have a Playboy hid in your bathroom, but come on, at your workplace?
Okay, Shannon, thank you for your call. I'm going to move on to another call. 1-800-449-8686. I think the caller's trying to make the distinction between loving a man and wanting to keep his picture and just admiring erotica.
But it's not about just the sex, that's all. And she doesn't want to admit that it is at least part about sex.
Okay, let me go to Dwayne. Dwayne, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, how are you this evening?
Very fine, sir. Go ahead.
I tell you what, I would be very offensive to those pictures for the plain and simple reason. Number one, I'm a Christian. I think it's sin. Number two, if I had a picture of my wife on my desk, I would not be telling people this is who I do it with.
Well, but suppose...
I am proud...
Suppose a girl walks by your desk and thinks you're hot, and then you have a picture there that says this is who I'm giving it to, it's going to depress her and she'll be sexually harassed.
No, that's not right.
What?
That is not right. That is telling people that I'm married to this lady, I am proud of this lady, and that I love this lady.
Okay, and it has nothing to do with sex.
No.
Come on, man, that's not being honest. You said you were a Christian. You said you was a Christian. which means you could burn it or whatever you believe because you lie. And
well, don't start calling the guy a liar.
Well, you know it has some to do with the physicality of it. Does
well,
it not?
I am telling the world I'm proud of this woman. I am pleased with this woman. This is who I love.
You're pleased. Yeah, you're pleased
the
with
rest
her.
Of my life
you're pleased with her, as in she satisfies you. Okay,
no.
That's pretty close to sass.
Hey! I'm gonna tell you something. I know there are some men out there who.
All right. Look. Let me cut through this here and say this.
Because if I can say something, Cerny.
What?
This guy talks really slow. I mean, can you get some?
Well, never mind how this gentleman is making himself very clear to me. But what we're saying here is essentially pictures on desks at the office imply sex. You're having sex with this person.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. This guy says he doesn't have sex with his wife.
He didn't say that. He's saying that he is simply not advertising that aspect of it.
Well, I was napping through a lot of what he was saying, so...
Yeah, never mind about your smart comments. 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton is with us, a pharmaceutical telemarketer who believes that having a picture of your wife on your desk or your husband on your desk is every bit as sexual as hanging naked pictures in your cubicle. He feels sexually harassed. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Back here with Chris Norton. Chris has filed a grievance. His place of work won't let him hang up. You call them nudes, right?
Well, yes, sir. These are nudes, semi-nudes. I do collect them. I also have a very large collection of adult films. Erotica is something that is a great deal of interest to me, but... The nudes that I have hanging in my office cubicle have nothing to do with sex.
Why? Why do they have nothing to do with sex?
You have to understand again, Mr. Ernie. I've had in my life, I mean, I don't want to talk or anything, but I'm only 28. I've slept with many, many, many women, and so I've transcended sort of sex. But
all right, if you've transcended sex and you go by a woman's cubicle who you think is hot...
Well, it doesn't mean I'm still not attracted to women.
Okay. You go by a woman's cubicle who you think is cute, and she's got a picture of her husband there. You call that sexual harassment, and you want that to end.
That is correct, because suppose I walk by her cubicle, and I notice she's got a nice, nice butt or whatever. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, there's a picture of this dude, that is sexually demeaning, because... I may think she's hot, and she's throwing up in my face. Yeah, well, look at the guy that's giving it to me every night.
Well, you've just heard people say that it isn't about giving it to them. It's about the person they love.
Okay, that may be what their intent is. My intent of hanging up nudes is not to sexually harass women. And yet, they say it does. So I have to take their feelings into consideration, then they got to take my feelings into consideration.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Joanne. Joanne, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Norton.
Yeah, I think his idea is all left out. Just because you have pictures on your desk, that does not mean you're having sex with him. I have a girlfriend who has
okay,
a parent's
so why
picture,
can't I have nudes?
Her grandparents' picture, her children's picture.
How come
she's
I can't have
sex
nudes?
For the whole family? I don't think so. Now,
well, I don't know about her family, lady. I mean, you don't think
I'm
so, but maybe.
You've got a weird way
well,
of thinking.
Well, look, if you're telling me that a picture doesn't mean what I think it means, then how come I got to take down the nudes that I got hanging
because
in my desk?
Because they're not nude pictures of her family. Nude pictures are not acceptable in
Why?
The workplace.
Why?
I don't care what state you're in,
Why?
What company you work for. Do you see nude pictures in a bank? I don't think so.
Joanne, if I went into your house, I might see
nude pictures in any business offices I go into.
Where do you work?
Where do I work?
Yeah.
I work for a company, a trucking company.
Okay, I bet you they got nude pictures there.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
I've been all over it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I've been all over it.
Well, they probably take them down. They probably take them down before you get there.
No, they do not.
How do you know?
No.
How do you know?
No.
Yeah.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
a man. You're a woman. I'm a man. You're a woman. And they probably take the pictures down because they
say,
here comes Joanne. She's a pain in the ass.
I don't know when I'm coming through.
I bet you they say, here comes that pain in the ass, Joanne. Let's take the pictures down.
All right, hold on. Hold on.
No, she doesn't. She wants to think that they. Yeah, she wants to think that they like her.
No.
What?
No, you're thinking, you're bringing up all this stuff to make those new pictures in your office seem right.
You mean
that's
I'm trying to make...
you're picking on a husband.
You mean I'm trying to make some points that you don't agree with and therefore it's not right?
No.
I've made some really good points. No. And you won't listen because you don't like men or something.
No, it has nothing to do with men.
Do you like men?
And if you had beautiful women in your cubicle that were dressed, I don't think anybody would mind. Naked women are not acceptable in the workplace.
You're
just picking up all this other stuff to make your stuff seem okay.
Well, and if you're married to a guy, well, how come you get to have a picture of a guy? How come you get to put a picture of a guy that's giving it to you, and I can't just have pictures of women that I like?
Excuse me, I have pictures of my children on my desk.
You mean you don't have a husband?
No, I don't have. I'm divorced, and I have pictures of my children and my parents.
You're divorced.
How do you figure that?
You're divorced? Boy, that's a surprise.
That has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. I have boyfriends.
Boyfriends, plural. They don't hang around too long.
Hey,
I bet you'd be considered a hot around your office if you shut your yap once in a while.
No.
I mean, are you this loud during sex? Seriously, are you this loud during sex?
What kind of a question is that to ask the lady?
You're nitpicking to make your pictures acceptable.
No,
that's all you're doing.
I'm using logic.
And I think that's silly.
You ever heard of logic?
New pictures are not acceptable in any business office of any type. Any state, anywhere.
Okay, I heard your point.
And you just won't accept
that. Now, what about this point?
That's why you're nitpicking for all these pictures of women's husbands on their desk.
Okay, what about this point? If you were hot, then you wouldn't care.
That has nothing to do with it.
Are you hot?
I don't care who has what pictures, as long as they're not nude.
Okay, suppose there was a nude picture of you, but it was a guy that loved you very much.
He would not have it because the new picture in his office is not acceptable, and I wouldn't let him have it.
Let's say I loved you, and I got a picture of you coming out of the shower, and you didn't know that I had it, and I put it up in my office because I loved you very much, but it was nude, and it was full frontal, okay, of you. Would you be ticked off just because maybe you're a little bit overweight, but I still love you?
That has nothing to do with it.
What if the photos I put up...
A new picture, as long as it was not in a business place, it wouldn't bother me.
What if I put up like a yellow sticky note over the private spots?
What are you talking about, man?
It's still not acceptable in a business place.
But it's of a woman what I love.
Okay, now let me get this straight. You take a picture of Joanne coming out of the shower.
I don't care. I'm sticking to the... It is not acceptable in the business, office, workplace, bank. I don't care where you work.
Well, how come they've got
pictures?
Okay, then how come they have nude pictures of you all over the trucking business that you work for?
I'm only kidding.
Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, yeah.
That's really funny,
you
man.
You don't know anything.
Well, she thinks that there's no nudes at a trucking business? I mean, please, don't you know nothing about truckers? Okay, suppose I put yellow sticky notes over the goodies.
What are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what if I did?
Oh, sure.
At the trucking place that you work at,
you're nitpicking again.
Truckers
just to make what you do.
Are you insane?
Seem right.
Are you insane?
That's all you're doing.
Truckers are all into like nudes. And are you trying to tell me truckers don't have no nude shots? Oh my God. This lady's not being sexually truthful.
There are no new pictures in the trucking company I work for.
All right, listen, Joanne, I'm going to take your word for
it. My boss and his wife that make the decisions.
I bet you they used your voice for the model when they made the horns for the trucks, though.
No, because
What
yeah,
an idiot.
Right.
What an idiot.
Yeah, insult
right.
me all you want.
I mean, you really are. I mean,
insult me all
okay.
you want, but you're
I'm
not.
I'm hot for you.
Thinking that nude women in a workplace is acceptable.
I've got nudes.
I'm sorry.
All right,
you
Joanne,
don't,
thank you.
Work in a, you don't work in a studio where they take pictures
right.
of nude models.
All right, Joanne,
you
thank
work, you. Work for a photographer that takes pictures of nudes?
Yes,
well,
ma'am,
that's
I have.
The only place that'd be acceptable.
I have worked in adult
it's
films.
It's in a photography studio.
I've worked in adult films, so... I have.
That still does not.
Are you kidding me? I work at adult films. It's not accessible.
All right, Joanne. Thank you very much. I got to get rid of her. I got to move on.
That lady made no sense whatsoever, Mr. Henry. What I'm trying to say, and what my attorney's trying to say is, the nudes. What if it was her nude?
She said it wouldn't be cool, man. God, let me go over here to Andrea on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Andrea.
Okay, I would like to say what I need to say without being interrupted. I think that's just plain courtesy. I find that your line of reasoning does not make much sense. I have in my workspace a picture of a very handsome man. It happens to be my son. He is certainly not giving it up to me or anybody else right now.
But how do I know that?
You know, you're being
rude.
Oh,
my God.
You're being very
rude.
No, how
do I know what you're saying?
Regardless of what you're saying, it is inappropriate in the workplace. Totally inappropriate. That is something, if you choose to hang pictures like that up, you put them in your own living space where it's not offensive to anybody. So you don't even have the first principles of courtesy and manners. You've just been so rude to everybody that's called in, and
no.
that is offensive in itself.
What did
and,
I do?
And
the lady
yes,
called.
It is very offensive.
Okay, but that lady said that there was no nude pictures.
Nevertheless,
in a trucking business?
You are okay. exhibiting inappropriate behavior.
Okay, may I ask a question?
Totally inappropriate.
May I ask a question? Can
you
I ask the lady a question?
Go ahead.
I cannot answer.
Okay, is your son, all I want to know, you say you got a picture of your son in your office. Is he butts up or something?
My
is he
son
butts up?
It's a portrait.
Yeah.
It's a portrait of my son.
Of a baby, when he was a baby, butt up, or was is he?
I have a 20-year-old son, and it's
what
a picture
jerk.
Of my son.
A 20-year-old young man. What do you mean butt up? You mean a naked baby picture?
Yeah, like they have...
Well, now you're being offensive and rude because
what?
That is not what I said. You obviously do not know the first principles of listening.
What's wrong with it?
Because you are not listening to anything anyone says. You have been interrupting
for all right, ma'am,
the
go
entire
ahead.
Time.
Say whatever you want. I won't interrupt.
I've said what I needed to say. You have no manners. You are not a person without manners.
It's
unattractive. I don't care how hot you think you are. A person without manners is not an attractive person. A person who needs to put inappropriate items, whether it's in words or pictures, up in their workspace is a person who intends to offend.
Yeah, but you're
and
the one who said you had a picture of your son in
it's
a G-string.
Why do you have anywhere?
Why do you have a picture of your son in a G-string? I mean,
that's
what's that
all
about?
All I have to say,
what is
and
that
that's
about?
All I'm going
she
to
never
say.
Said that.
Well, she's intimating that her son is toned and tan. Hello? Hit me. Hello? Is the host there? Hit me. Okay, I'll see. What? Yeah, I was on a talk show. I don't know what happened to him. Hello? Is the host of the show there? Hello? Okay, I'll stay, yeah. God, man, that's two in a row at 20. Yeah, I'm going to go hit the nickel slots. Hello? Hello? I was on a talk show. They're not there anymore. Hello?
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Thanks to Chris Norton for his line of drivel.
Now, a flashback from our show last night on the Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier was on, a high school educator who believes that the females in the campaign, Teresa Hines Carey, the Bush twins, did you see him tonight? Look pretty sweet. He wants those women in the background because to have them up front may sexually attract male voters, and they make it confused as to why they're voting for a candidate. Is it because they think the candidate's the right guy, or are they just hot for the guy's daughter or wife? Here's Vernon Dozier.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, after just hearing the comments you just made, sir, I think whoever's, what school system you're working for should investigate you.
I've been fully investigated, sir. This is, you don't think I'd say it on the radio unless my school, and I work for a private school. And I've been
I'm sure glad my kids are not there.
I paid my debt to society.
But the thing about it is,
I paid my debt to society.
The thing about it is, if you're going to judge the campaign by their women, then you just don't need to vote. You need to stay the hell out of it.
You know as well as I do.
Because you don't understand anything about either candidate. Now, I don't like Kerry, but I do vote for Bush.
Okay, but...
But I vote for them because I know what they are.
All right.
I know what he stands for. It's not because he puts his daughter up out there in front of me.
Can I ask you a question before we go any further?
Yeah.
Is that drumming I hear?
Some of our high school seniors, they had a belly dancer coming through here and they wanted...
They got a belly dancer there at the restaurant?
Yes, sir. It's a Greek restaurant down in Long Beach.
All right, so go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I just think the guy needs to seek professional help because you're not judging the candidates for what they're up there for. You're judging the candidates for the women.
I think it's unfair to say that I'm the only American male who isn't swayed by how alluring. Now, you're voting for Bush, and I thank you for that because I support the president, too. But you don't think Teresa Hines looks pretty good?
No, I don't look at the women. I look at the candidates for what they're up there for.
There are many men in this country who have very special relationships with their daughters, and I think Bush is trying to get those votes. And with all my therapy, it still makes me feel dirty.
What do you mean special relationships with their daughters?
I've got a 26-year-old daughter, and I've got a relationship with her. She's my daughter, and I'm her daddy.
Of course, and that's the way it should be. But some of us stepped into the more exotic, shall we say.
And you're a sick individual, friend.
Sir, I'm just...
What do you mean the exotic, sir? You went to jail for this, didn't you?
I paid my debt to society, sir.
Now, because you had this crime you committed against your own daughter, now you feel that you're attracted to the Bush twins?
That's not why I'm voting for Bush. That's not why I'm voting for Bush. And
well, then let's just forget about the Bush daughters.
But they distract me from why I'm voting for Bush. And I'm just afraid that this gentleman, for instance, who wants to vote for Bush, may be distracted by Teresa Carey, who you don't think she's good looking?
Friend, you're full of it.
If I'm full of it, then how come John Kerry, I bet you he has fun with that.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
A real sick, 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 twisted guy, that scumbag Vernon Dozier from our show last night on the Phil Hendry Show. Now, coming up tomorrow night, don't forget Jay Santis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to give us a update on the state of our security as a nation. And Thursday night, Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, what's going on in suburban America. And Friday night, Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills, one of the great steakhouses, or so he says, will be on to talk to us about the world of business. Steve Bozell for President T-shirts are selling like they're going out of style. But in point of fact, they're in style. They're very vogue. They're very chic. They're very now, and they're very you. The Steve Bozell for President T-shirt that says, Steve Bozell, President 2004, vote for me or I'll sue you. As you know, Steve sues everybody. He has sued his own wife. He sued his own daughter. And in one episode with Steve, he actually sued his dog. He sued his dog. I forget what it was for, but it must have been something in Steve's mind that was completely egregious. Steve, along with his attorney, Dolores Blazingame of Riverside, California, a real, this woman's got her freaking hooks into him deeper than you can think. This guy sues everyone, and he'll sue you if you don't vote for him for President of the United States. Get your Steve Bozell T-shirt at www.philhendryshow.com. PhilHenryShow.com. And also grab a Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. All the money we raise from the sale of that CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Or you can call 877-616-7445. And that, you can like call up and you can order it on the phone, but you still need to have a credit card. So you got to some way, shape, or form have your act together. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.